I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As most of you know, I'm a teacher. And in the mornings at school, I have 10 minutes to welcome my class, take the register, and check that they've all read their books yesterday evening and written about them in their homework diaries. Whilst I do this, they are tasked with some written maths questions, which they try to complete within the 10 minutes. One of the unfortunately not infrequent results of this morning rush is that when I do the calculations on the board for them to check, I make mistakes of my own. The children delight in pointing it out, and it can feel quite uncomfortable being corrected by 10-year-olds I'm meant to be teaching. I'm sure many of us have had similar experiences at one point or another, perhaps being corrected by our own children, juniors at work, friends who are really not experts in our given field. Our pride takes a bit of a knock. We could kick ourselves for a silly mistake. We vow never to let it happen again. In our first reading today, this realization that we don't know it all, that sometimes we need to rely on those we might least expect to have the answers that we do not, is explored. Naaman, commander of King Aram's army, a great man in the sight of his master, a valiant soldier, highly regarded in society, one used to giving orders and being obeyed, has been struck down with a much feared disease. Almost unnoticeable to begin with, easily hidden, leprosy becomes debilitating, but also leaves the sufferer a figure of fear and, in time, an outcast. Naaman and his household are probably getting desperate. Perhaps he's tried cures, spent time and money on physicians and holy men, but nothing has worked, and he knows he cannot stop the devastating progress of his illness. It is from a very unlikely quarter that the suggestion of a course of action comes, not from some great doctor or wise and learned teacher, but from his wife's servant girl, a captive from Israel. If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy, she says. So, this leader of men goes, on the word of a mere servant girl. What, I wonder, did that cost his pride to do as she suggested? And then, on arriving at the prophet's house, the holy man doesn't even deign to come out and greet him. Instead, he sends a messenger, and the messenger says that Naaman should dip himself 7 times in the River Jordan. Now this is humiliating, sent by a simple message to a dirty foreign river and expected to dip himself in it. As a man of importance, of status in society, he clearly expected something dramatic, clear to everyone, something that was done to him rather than something he would have to do himself. Why didn't the prophet pray over him? Why wasn't he given some expensive potion for his illness? Why didn't the prophet do anything? In his anger at his treatment, Naaman almost loses his cure. But, again, he shows himself to be wiser and humbler than we might expect, in that he listens to the pleading of his servants, and it does indeed go to the river. God uses the lowly, the servants, the least among the people, as instruments of his saving power. The result of Naaman's humility, his acceptance of the help and advice of others, is that he receives more even than he asks for. He returns from the Jordan and, standing before Elisha, confesses, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." There is a similar gift of faith in our gospel reading today. You know the story well. 10 lepers call to Jesus asking for healing. They believe him when he tells them just to show themselves to the priest, and they walk away, and they are indeed healed. As they experience that healing, only one, a Samaritan, returns to thank Jesus. Now, Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priests. So in one sense, it may not be expected that they would come back. But this is not about the condemnation of a nine for the lack of gratitude. It is, as with Naaman, more a celebration of the one man recognizing the significance of what has happened to him. The Samaritan returns not because he's more polite or more grateful than the others, but because the kingdom of God has broken through, and he recognizes this. He has not only been made well, but also saved. The verb used here, sizoke, can mean both. He is, as Athanasius said, given much more than the rest. The leper and the commander have both recognized God in their healing and have, as a result, received a deeper healing. They have found and recognized the power of God. Sometimes we are too clever for our own good, too determined to rely on our own understanding, to shape our lives as we think they should be shaped, to shun the advice of others, especially when we think they are less wise, less qualified than we are. And yet, we need one another. We need the experience and the distance from situations that others bring. We need one another's knowledge of God and of the world in ways we cannot imagine until they happen. Time and again through the Gospels, we find that the poorest in society, the outcast, the foreigner, are seen as the most blessed, perhaps specifically because they recognize their own and others' need of God and of neighbor. We need those same things, but often our needs are obscured by our wealth and our confidence in our own abilities. Naaman showed great humility in twice listening to his servants. The Samaritan leper found more than physical healing when he returned to Jesus to give thanks. Both recognized their need for help and found God in their healing. Where in our lives do we need God's healing touch? Where in our busyness have we lost sight of the fount of our wholeness? Where have we failed to recognize God's action in our lives and so missed the opportunity to go in trust and love? When might we have turned to others, but instead relied upon ourselves? When have we carried burdens too heavy for one, but convinced that no one could help, when others would have gladly borne those burdens with us? As we go out into the world once more this morning, let us turn to one another for support and watch out for the wisdom of others, even when it comes from the most unexpected of quarters. And let us take time to find God in our days, to turn to him in gratitude, to allow ourselves to be touched by grace and strengthened by love. Oh, yes. And I'll try and get my maths right too. Amen.